Good morning, everyone. This Shabbos, we're going to end the four parshios that we've been adding to our davening to make davening longer on Shabbos, because everyone loves to be in shul. And this Shabbos will be the last of those four parshas, Parshas HaChodesh. And I wanted to understand together with you what the significance is for us, especially in the year 2016 with all that's happening around us. And I think it's a very important statement that we have to remind ourselves of once a year. And perhaps this is the reason why Chazal decided that before Pesach, once a year, you have to remind yourself of this particular lesson. What are we going to read this Shabbos in Parshat HaChodesh? What's the first words? The first words are, and God spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying. What's the second word, Pasuk? No one knows. They forgot from last year. It's a leap year, 13 months. Everyone forgot.
This is the first of the months for you.
HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim. This is the first month for you. Now, deduce from that statement something. What do you mean for you? As a matter of fact, in that particular parak, there's a few times that it says lachem. And inevitably, almost every single time, Chazal said lachem means only for who?
For the people.
For you. For example, it says, with regard to Yontiv, you're not allowed to do any melacha. We're going to read it this Shabbos. Ach, however, asher ya'achel l'chol nefesh, except for food, hu levado ya'aseh lachem, that only you shall do for you. So you're allowed to cook on Yontiv. What does the Gemara deduce from the statement lachem with regard to food?
For your needs, for that Yontiv?
No. Yes. Lachem, to you and not for your dog. Lachem, and not to a non-Jew. And onwards and onwards. So I believe, and you can look at the first parak of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that there are different Rosh Hashanah in the year, the different heads of the year. When is the Rosh Hashanah for Jewish kings?
Nisan.
When is the Rosh Hashanah for non-Jewish kings? Take a guess. This is not rocket science. Take a guess. When is the other Rosh Hashanah of the year?
Is it January?
Tishrei. So, we have two Rosh Hashanahs, one for Jewish kings, one for non-Jewish kings. How come? Why mix up the Jewish people? Everyone says Rosh Hashanah is coming. We all know Rosh Hashanah is in Tishrei. It's the first of Tishrei. All of a sudden comes the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. You open up your machzer on Rosh Hashanah night when it gets boring in shul, or Rosh Hashanah day when there's too many piyutim, and you all open it up, and it mixes you all up. Why? Why do we have two Rosh Hashanahs? One for Jewish kings, one for non-Jewish kings. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say, no, for you, Nisan is the beginning of the year. For the rest of the world, Tishrei. But for you, Nisan. And there's a big, big, big debate in the Gemara as to when the world was actually created, and it comes to the conclusion that Rosh Hashanah commemorates which day of creation? The sixth day of creation, when the first human being was created. So Rosh Hashanah signifies the beginning of the world as we know it. Explains the Ran on the Reef, right at the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. That from here we learn a fundamental lesson about the Jewish people versus the rest of the world. Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei is when God put into the world all the laws of nature. Physics and chemistry and biology, etc. were all put into the world in Tishrei. And by nature, you can go ahead and see if something's going to happen if you don't use those rules and regulations correctly. For example, a good Jewish boy comes home and his wife says, I read in the newspaper that we have to recycle. So now we're going to have five different garbage bags at home. One for plastic, one for metal, one for glass, one for cardboard, and one for everything else doesn't go in the four categories. And this good Jewish boy says plastic is in the bottles. Either glass or plastic. And this Jewish boy comes and says, what are you bothering me with recycle, shmecycle? My grandmother didn't recycle. Everything goes in one bin, out in the garbage, and finished. Well, quite frankly, if we're not going to be concerned about recycling, the rules and regulations that God put into the world on that Tishrei will backfire on us. What's going to happen? No, what's going to happen?
If you don't recycle?
If you don't recycle, global warming and everything else that happens. And that's going to affect us as much as the rest of the world. So nature was created on Rosh Hashanah.
I agree with the
Nature was created on Rosh Hashanah Again, I don't agree or disagree. I'm not a scientist. But if scientists say that if you don't recycle, this and this will happen, they are probably right. And they have what to do.
What does your grandmother
do with it?
Your grandmother also thought that eating meat is healthy for you for the rest of your life. We all know where that eventually ended up. Okay, medicine obviously develops, and we develop in our understanding of nature. So right now, at this point, if they posken this way or that way, we, as Jews and as non-Jews who are living in this world, have to go ahead and basically abide by those rules of nature, with one exception. What's the exception? The survival of the Jewish people. The survival of the Jewish people is attributed not to Tishrei, but the Jewish kings start counting from Nisan. Because in Nisan, the first of the Jewish months, something unnatural happened. What happened? A nation of slaves, who were supposed to be slaves, and continue to be slaves to their dying day. And if their children were born into slavery, they were supposed to be slaves. And that's the way it was for about 200 years. All of a sudden, we're let out. It was unnatural that a nation went from servitude to freedom. There's nothing natural about that phenomenon. And because of that, in my humble opinion, from that day on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Jewish people, we're going to read it this Shabbos, that for you, for your survival, it's not just based on the laws of chemistry and physics and strategies and political science and whatnot. You have to take one more thing into account. What we say in the Haftorah every single Shabbos after we read it. Ki v'shem kodshecha nishbat alo, in my holy name, you have promised us with a divine vow, shalayich ben eiro lo'olam va'ed, that the Jewish people's flame will never be extinguished. And indeed, if you look at world history, you could see many nations who are on top of the world, and eventually there's no remnant left of them. And thank God we're still here, despite the very hard and harsh year we went through in Israel since Sukkot. We're still here. And we're still breathing air. And the nation and the country of Israel is still thriving and breathing and creating. There's nothing natural about the history of the Jewish people from the day they came onto the scene to this very moment. From the day they left Egypt, there was nothing natural about their 40 years in the desert. Imagine a nation survived 40 years in the desert. Desert has no food and has no water. What did the Kadosh Baruch Hu do?
Man.
And perhaps the Be'er of Miriam. There's nothing natural about that. If you don't go into the desert with provisions, you're going to die in 2 days. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something unnatural for the Jewish people and looked out for them. And you can go on and on and on throughout history and see that despite the fact that according to the rules and regulations of Tishrei, we should have been eradicated, we weren't. And perhaps this will explain to you a statement that sometimes comes up in the Gemara, in which the sages of the Gemara are asked the following question. How did you live to a ripe old age? Many people die young, many people die very, very young, other people die at an age that we would call it midlife, whatever. But certain sages lived a long life, and the Gemara asks, how come you lived a long life? And what does the Gemara answer? It doesn't say he jogged every day. It doesn't say he ate well. It doesn't say he stayed away from junk food. It doesn't say at the Kiddush and Shabbos when everyone was going for the kugel, he went for the salad. It doesn't say when everyone was going for the chulent, he went for the cucumber. What does the Gemara usually say?
They were pleasant, they smiled, they were happy.
No, not that I recall. He made Kiddush on Shabbos over wine. He was makbid on this mitzvah, on that mitzvah. What is that all about?
His wife treated him well.
Obviously, what the sages are saying is what we say in Kriyat Shema every day. There's no reason in the world why anyone would think when there's a drought, it's because of our sins. There's a drought because of natural reasons that there's a drought this year, whatever it might be. And yet we, twice a day, say, no, we have something to do with it. We have to look into ourselves and make ourselves better. So if you do get a prize and you have a long life, and you're asked why, then beyond saying the Tishrei answer, jogging, eating well, staying away from junk food. You also say, and I also did mitzvahs, and I had the awe of heaven upon me, and I didn't steal, and I didn't cheat, etc., etc. That is a lesson we have to learn every single year, once a year, about the Jewish people. It's been a hard winter and a very hard year in Israel. And I think that once a year it's important for us to reiterate to ourselves that our very existence upon the face of the earth is not natural. It wasn't natural from the day we were put onto this historic scene to this very moment. And whoever thinks that we are here because of natural causes, you know, somehow with mazel we got through, is mistaken. Because if you look at any single other nation that went through something that is parallel to what we went through, they are no longer around. Anyone ever hear of a Babylonian in the last few years? I mean, you read Sefer Melachim Bet, they're on top of the world. They're so on top of the world, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel, exiled the entire people. Is there anything natural that just 70 years later the Jewish people come back to the same land? Is there anything natural about the fact that a few years later there was this Nes of Hanukkah and they actually got Jewish sovereignty for a few years, a few hundred years? And is there anything natural about the fact that even after that was destroyed by the ancient Romans? And the Arch of Titus will prove that that happened. Here we are again. There is nothing natural about that. And if you think about it, perhaps this is the reason why on Rosh Hashanah, what do we read about? We don't read about the creation of the world, as we probably should. What do we read about? New Bruce, what do we read about? First day of Rosh Hashanah, second day of Rosh Hashanah, the creation of the world. You didn't listen to the Torah reading this year? I don't think you were texting, but what were you doing in shul? No? Anyone remember? Wow, guys, Rosh Hashanah, most Jews, I understand, go to the shul for the high holidays. No? We read about the birth of Yitzchak. Anything natural about that?
No.
Mommy's 90, daddy's 100. Like, that happens every day. That's the first day, Rosh Hashanah. Second day, Rosh Hashanah. What do we read about? Avram takes little Yitzchak, not so little anymore, puts him on a mazbeach, and he comes off walking out of life. Anything natural about that? Even on the beginning of the year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to indicate to us Jews, when I judge you on this day, it's not by only the laws of nature, but also by the unnatural laws. And that's why I think once a year we have to reiterate this to ourselves, that we're not here naturally. We are here also because we have a special relationship with God that produced this unnatural phenomenon of us still being around despite everything we went through.
How about the Holocaust? I mean, what more to do with that?
And indeed, no nation went through such a terrible, terrible time in history.
It's unbelievable
and uncanny that human beings can be degraded to such a level that they would just kill, mass murder. Millions! And yet, imagine coming out of there, whoever survived with scars for the rest of their lives, and yet people rebuilding Jewish families, people rebuilding their own heritage. I mean, every Hasidic sect was wiped out in the Holocaust. Look today at any Hasidic sect. They have reinvented themselves. Babov, Satmar, Ger, Gur, Belz. The list goes on and on and on. Just imagine where they were in 1945 and where they are today. You're going to call that natural? You know, it was supposed to happen. There were supposed to be millions killed. Then they're going to reinvent themselves and, you know, rebuild and no problem. The building falls down, we rebuilt it. You know, the Twin Towers were destroyed and we just rebuilt it. Big deal. Sorry, it definitely is a big deal. It's unnatural. Not to mention the fact, anyone would have thought in 1945 there would be a state of Israel in 1948 and that state should survive six Arab armies that are going to attack it the day after it's declared and they're going to survive to talk about it some 60-something years later? And just remember how many wars were in those 60 years and how many lives were lost? There's nothing natural about our existence. Everything I've told you makes no sense if you just go by the laws of Tishrei. But if you add in Nisan, you add in that additional element of, well, there's something unnatural about the Jewish people as well. There's something unnatural about their existence. And therefore, it's so important once a year to read that parsha. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Rosh Chodeshim. The rest of the world, laws of biology, chemistry, physics, political science, strategies, absolutely. And that applies to us too. But we have one additional element that we have to take into account, and that is Nisan. The unnatural happened in Nisan, and therefore you understand why it says in Chazal, "Benisan nigalu, uvenisan atidin lehigael." In Nisan they were redeemed, and in Nisan they will be redeemed. Why is it that Chazal felt so strongly about it? Now again, I don't know if they meant that literally in the month of Nisan, Mashiach will come. You all know that the Rama brings the minhag that on Motzei Shabbos, what are you supposed to say after Havdalah? After Havdalah.
Eliyahu
Hanavi. Why do you say Eliyahu Hanavi after Havdalah?
He's the herald for Mashiach.
Why don't we say it Friday night? We're going to read in a week, Shabbos HaGadol, Malachi. The Navi Malachi says, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Et Eliyahu Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Hayom Hashem HaGadol VaHanorah. A day before Mashiach will come, Eliyahu Hanavi will come and tell us Mashiach is coming tomorrow. Why don't we say that Friday night? Interesting Gemara.
Our Shabbat.
Exactly, it's going to ruin our Shabbos plans. Imagine you're in the kitchen, you or your wife, I'm going to be very politically correct here, and you're making the children, Eliyahu knocks on the door, Mashiach is coming! What? I'm in the middle of making the children, I'm washing the house. Don't bother me. Mashiach, let him come tomorrow. Sunday. Sunday's a good day. Most of the Jews are off on Sunday, except for in Israel. Sunday, let him come Sunday. So indeed, the Gemara doesn't give that reason. It gives another reason. It says that Eliyahu Hanavi is a Shomer Shabbos Jew. And on Shabbos, you can't leave your tchum, your domain. You can only walk how many amot outside of it?
2,000.
So Eliyahu Hanavi, you know, he's up in heaven. It says that he went, the beginning of Malachim Bet, Besa'ara Shamayma. So if he comes down here, he's going to violate Shabbos. We don't want him to violate Shabbos. So Motzei Shabbos comes, a minute, a second afterwards, we say Eliyahu Hanavi. Right? So we say it all year. We don't just say it in Nisan. So what does Chazal mean? It means just like you were redeemed in Nisan because Nisan represents the unnatural. So too in the future, despite everything that's happening with assimilation rates going up and anti-Semitic acts going up, you will be redeemed again. The Nisan element have not been taken away from the Jewish people as of yet and will never be taken away from the Jewish people. And therefore, you can understand now why it's so important and vital that we read about this particular parsha as we begin the month of Nisan. Because if you can go into Pesach very simply and easily by just saying, naturally, Abraham Lincoln went ahead and did what to the slaves in America?
He freed them.
So. Freed them. Oh, so, you know, Pyro had sex. It was like a nice Abe Lincoln. That's not what happened. Pyro didn't want to let the Jews go. First plague, second plague, third plague, fourth plague. There was no hope. Plague after plague after plague, nothing. And all of a sudden, that famous night, plague of the firstborn, he lets him out. There was plagues? Absolutely. But quite frankly, they had a precedent. And in my humble opinion, if we don't go into Pesach telling ourselves and our children and our grandchildren, remember, we have this special deal with God, that we will never be destroyed as a nation. We're missing something. We're missing something so vital that we stop at that moment being steadfast Jews and we start just being part of the world at large. There's rules of chemistry, physics, and biology, and it applies to us too, and that's it. Nothing special about you? Answer is, yes, I eat healthy food. And there's an additional element. That's the Tishrei element, healthy food. What's the Nisan element? What kind of healthy food?
Kosher
food. Many cardiologists say to keep your heart healthy, you should have a glass of red wine a day. Nice, dry, red wine. So we Jews are part of Tishrei. We celebrate Rosh Hashanah, but we have an additional element. What's that element? Shtam Yenam, Yen Nesach, kosher wine. And you can go on and on and on to every element of our lives and just take every element and ask yourselves, are we doing both? Do we have the Tishrei and the Nisan? Because many a people like one and not the other. Many a people say, my grandmother ate schmaltz, so I'm going to eat schmaltz.
My father said,
well, that's a Nisan element without a Tishrei element. Doctors today say this is not healthy, this, that's not healthy, and whatever. And instead of being at the forefront of science, Tishrei, you go ahead and you say, I'm only a Nisan. Or quite the opposite. You know the joke. If a Jew coming to Israel, they don't know any of the mitzvahs, but they came on birthright, and they know one word, Tikkun Olam. So they come to Israel, and they get off the plane, and they ask the passport officer, I'm here in the Holy Land of Israel, can you please tell me how to say Tikkun Olam in Hebrew? Quite frankly, there are many Jews that live in the Tishrei element without the Nisan element, or in the Nisan element without the Tishrei element. And it's very difficult to live in both. It's extremely complex to be both a Tishrei Jew and a Nisan Jew. But we have to be in both. We have to, on the one hand, be part and parcel of the world and be at the forefront of science and listen to our doctors and contribute to the fact that there are global problems today. I mentioned global warming and the list goes on. That's a Tishrei Jew. And on the other hand, we're a Nisan Jew. We have a special heritage of kosher food, of a Seder, of whatever else that goes along with being Jewish, which is unnatural and makes no sense. When you're sitting in an airport and you're hungry and your flight's delayed and everyone's going to buy all the food and all the concession stands that cost a fortune and you sit there and you can't do it and you eat an apple. There's nothing natural about that. That's totally unnatural. But that's who we are. We have a Rosh Hashanah on Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei, and we have a Rosh Hashanah in Nisan. But even in Tishrei, the Torah reading of the day is the unnatural miracle of Yitzchak's birth and his survival of the Akedah. And even in Nisan, even in the month that we go free, we have to remember that we're part and parcel of the Tishrei world, especially this year. What am I referring to? When is Pesach? Shamor et Chodesh Ha'aviv, Vasita Pesach La'Hashem Elokecha. You have to have Pesach in which season?
Spring.
Spring. When is spring?
Aviv.
When is spring? Spring is based on the seasons of the year that's based on the sun that God put into the world in Tishrei. So even on a month that's unnatural, if we would go ahead and be like what the Arabs do with Ramadan, it would be very simple. We'd have one Adar, and we keep on going backwards. We'd have Nisan in the winter, sometimes in the autumn, sometimes whenever. That's the way it would go. But we have to try to combine the natural world with our unnatural Jewish existence. And therefore we have both. So today we give many examples of how we have to be a Nisan Jew and a Tishrei Jew. And it's so important that we go ahead and reiterate that to ourselves. And especially this year, where from the Tishrei point of view, so many terrible things have happened. It's so vital right now, as we sit here, as we get closer to Pesach, to remind ourselves, we're not just living in the Tishrei world, where anti-Semitic acts are going up, and unfortunately what we've went through this year, and I can't even go into the list, it would be too long and too sad to try to describe, but we're also living in the Nisan world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks out for the Jewish people as he's done before, and God willing will look out for us as we march further into the future challenges that await us, until indeed we get to that day, that special day where Eliyahu HaNavi will come and say, Mashiach is coming tomorrow, and we will be redeemed, even though it makes no sense to be redeemed again, even though it makes no sense to be redeemed from what we are again, we will be redeemed again.